Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
For those of you who are new students this term, on Tuesday mornings we have what we call the keynote, which is a message that sort of sets the tone, sets the note, where the Spirit wants us to flow week by week. It's the first morning when we're all together, team and students. Now, yesterday morning was a memorable time. You will always look back on yesterday morning and realize what a significant thing took place in your life. You probably don't even realize at this moment how significant it was. It was like God laying the sure foundation upon which He can build. What you have experienced during these last days is really the way in which Christians ought to be led to the Lord. So that right from the beginning of their lives, there is that full, wholehearted repentance, that sure knowledge, assurance of the forgiveness of sins, that total surrender of every area of their lives to Him. Because without that, people can't live as disciples. And the commission that is upon the church is to go and make disciples, not people who simply make a decision for Christ. Decisions are important. But a decision needs to be followed up by the repentance and the faith. So that wholehearted surrender is probably the most meaningful thing that you've done, perhaps in your life, because to say, Lord, I give you my life, means what? It's almost a meaningless statement, unless we actually say what it is we are yielding and giving to Him so that He can be sovereign and king in every area of our lives. So we've laid the foundation, or not quite fully. In that scripture that we read yesterday and that I just quoted, we're bid to come right before the throne of God with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith. Now, yesterday morning, I was praising God because of the thorough way in which, obviously, most of you, if not all of you, have prepared for that time. I saw many of you reading pages and pages of what you were surrendering to the Lord, both the negative things to be dealt with and the positive things, that now He can take hold of your life and use you. And so you really took to heart what Jesus says, the measure you give is the measure you get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I believe this is going to be the best term this college has ever had, because it's begun in the better way than ever before. And I must have led about 100 first weeks of terms. And so from my position, I can sort of see what is happening, what God has done, what God is doing, and can hear, if you like, the voice of the Spirit opening up what lies ahead for us. Now we have another, students have another morning of ministry. We spent about the best part of 4 hours or 3.5 hours yesterday morning just meeting with God, and that was such a significant time. But today we need the full assurance of faith. Now, we've already exhibited faith in what he has done for us on the cross. You now know that you were crucified with Christ. And as I explained to you yesterday, going through the kind of process that you went is like living for yourself that time of crucifixion. Now, of course, you were crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. It isn't that you were crucified with Christ yesterday, but you really appropriated what it means to have been crucified with Christ. That's the significant thing. So now you know that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. So everything can now be focused on him and not you. Somebody say hallelujah. Because this is the problem, you see, so many Christians say that they've given their lives to the Lord and that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm sure they're perfectly sincere, but still their lives, their thinking, their motives, their decisions are focused around themselves and not him. And that's a sure sign that actually they're not fully surrendered to the Lord. That their first priority in their lives is not the will and the purpose of God, but they still, in some measure, want God to fulfill their own dreams and plans and ambitions. So, you know, the prayer of many Christians is, help me. But you see, that means that me is still the one that's operating, rather than Christ in me. And there's that thing about us, about our flesh really, that we feel we've got to do something for God. And we've already seen there's nothing we can do for God, really. Absolutely nothing. I mean, who are we to think that we can do something for the one who created the universe? I mean, what could we possibly do for him? But he can work through us to fulfill his plan and his purposes. And this is the thing we always have to remember, that God does not make up his plan as we go along. He doesn't even make up his plan for your life on a day-to-day basis. Even before he called you, even before the creation of the world, he had his plan, and everything he is doing in the world ever since then, today and in the future, will be according to his preset plan. He does not change his plans. What he does is to bring believers into his plan. And what he wants to do for each one of you is to show you the part he has for you in his plan. It isn't that he's sitting on his throne in heaven, devising a plan for you and thinking, okay, now you've surrendered your life to me in the way that you have, how can I use you? No, no, no. God knew before the creation of the world that yesterday morning would happen. God knew when he called you here to be a student this term exactly what was going to take place during these opening days. He chose you to come to such a full surrender of your life to him. Now, I'm sure before you came, especially those of you who knew students, before you came, you never dreamed that in 1 week your life would have changed the way it has, that so much has happened that you have come to such a new place in God. You probably never dreamed that you would surrender as you have to him, submitted, yielded, presented your new life to him, as we explained last week. But he knew. He knew you would do it. He knew that you would kneel there, you would pour out your heart to him. He knew that you would come to a great new place where you realize the old has gone, it's dead, buried, finished with. You have died, now you are a new creation. Not just in theory, but in reality. So that you can now live as a new creation. He knew all that. And he knows what lies ahead during these coming weeks. He has actually, the Word of God says that he's planned good things for us to walk in. He can see all those good things. And he knows that now you've come to this place of being really yielded to him, those good plans can be fulfilled. And so we're going to see the goodness of God like never before, like you've never seen before. You're going to see the goodness of God in these coming weeks. You're going to see amazing things happen in your life and around you in the body here. Because, you see, it's not that God rewards the surrender of your life, except in the sense that we saw in the Word of God. The measure you give is the measure you get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So obviously, there is a sense of reward, if you like, that the more you give yourself, the more God is able to pour back into your life. But what he does is always the work of his grace. We can never say, well, we earned it because we have given ourselves to him in the way that we have. No, it's still the work of his grace. We don't deserve the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That what we do when we surrender our lives in the way that you did yesterday is we put ourselves in the position where we're able to receive all that God wants to pour into our lives. So you see, immediately we had given, what did God want to do? He wanted to pour his Spirit afresh into you. And just the worship at the beginning, I mean, you could see, oh, this is, there's a different note here. It's just the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, before yesterday morning, I thought, right, okay, we'll do all the surrendering and then we'll do all the ministry of the Spirit and the healing and everything today. But as we were, as the prayer was going on yesterday, the Lord said, no, I want you to go and I want a fresh impartation of my Spirit this morning, yesterday. This was the Lord speaking yesterday. I want it now. They have given to me. I want to give to them immediately. So we had that very powerful impartation of the Spirit. Most of you were knocked off your feet, but whether you were or not, that doesn't matter so long as you know that you have received. Now, we come to the real crux of why God has moved in the way that he has. Just 1 week. Only last Tuesday morning that we started. Amazing, isn't it? What God can do when we make ourselves available to him. You see, you can participate perhaps for years in church life and nobody ever leads you to that kind of place. But praise God, we're here together. And now, it's this full assurance of faith. Now, the good thing is this. John says this. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and know that we receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Now, I want you to think of that scripture in the light of what you did yesterday. If our hearts do not condemn us, you know that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. But that doesn't stop people feeling condemned when they either listen to the enemy or they know that they have sinned. They're not condemned, but you can feel that you're condemned. Self-condemnation is false, but nevertheless, Christians feel it. But there is now no condemnation, because anything and everything that the enemy could have accused you of was dealt with yesterday. You are free, completely. And God spoke that over your life. It is for freedom you have been set free. So there's nothing to condemn you. If our hearts do not condemn us, you see, this is John. This is the wise John who knew Jesus, spent all those years with him, 50 years of Spirit-filled ministry before he wrote this. If our hearts do not condemn us, he knows there's no condemnation in Christ, but he knows your heart can still condemn you. If you're not actually in the place with him where you need to be. So he says, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now you see, you can have absolute confidence before God. Why? Because you know you're not withholding anything from him. Not just the sin, but your life. Look at all the detail you went into of what you've actually surrendered to him. So you can have confidence before God. Now, what I want you to understand is that you can have confidence before God, not just this morning, but for the rest of your life. Because, in a very real way, yesterday you went to the cross. And you know that. And going to the cross is not just forgiveness, remember. It's being crucified with Christ. So you went to the cross. So your hearts need never, ever condemn you for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. You can therefore have confidence before God every day of your life. His mercies will be new to you every day. His grace will be lavished upon you every day. This is the beginning of a new chapter. This is the beginning of a new walk with God. This is the beginning of a closer relationship with him than you've ever known. And you're going to learn day by day by day to have confidence in him. So if your hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. This is the fruit of faith. Prayer with faith produces results. Not any results, but the result for which we pray. So we expect the supernatural. We expect the miraculous. We recognize that our God is a God of intervention. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this, because there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who do not believe in a God of intervention. They believe that God exists and somehow it's for us to acknowledge him and honor him, but they don't expect him to intervene and change the circumstances in which they're placed. But our God is a God of intervention. That in response to our prayers of faith, he intervenes. He intervenes to free people from their sickness. He intervenes to set them free from the oppression and heaviness of spirit. He intervenes to bring reconciliation and unity where there's been division. He intervenes with his mercy whenever there is sin or guilt. He intervenes with his love, his perfect love that casts out all fear. He responds to the prayers of his people and he intervenes. So every time you pray and ask God to do anything, expect his intervention. God is going to do something in response to that prayer of faith. He only intervenes in response to prayers of faith. He has promised to do that, and he would not be true to himself if ever he failed to honor a prayer of faith. Because Jesus said, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. So if anybody ever prayed a prayer of faith and God did not intervene, Jesus would not be true and there would be no salvation for anyone. So because we know he is the truth, we know that it is right that we will receive whatever we ask if we believe. Whatever we ask in prayer. Amen. Now, already you see we're talking about another level. Not just praying and hoping something that's going to happen. Not just praying and believing that things might improve a little bit. But we're expecting God to intervene to change the circumstances. So if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him whatever we ask. Now, this is not the end of the sentence. Because we obey his commands. Now, what you have done is to obey his command to repent. Repent in the full sense of what that means biblically. That's really what you were doing yesterday. You were coming to a fresh repentance. And repentance is those two things, as forgiveness of sins and the surrender of yourself to his lordship. So he becomes both Lord and Savior in your life. You have obeyed that command. But the command of Jesus is to repent and believe. You see, when Jesus began his ministry, the first thing that he is recorded as saying in his ministry to the people is actually the principle by which God always works. And that is, what Jesus said was this: the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe. In every situation, wherever you want God to move, that's all you have to do. Not just believe, repent and believe. I told you how God taught me to lead people to the Lord in this way in the early years of my ministry. And the people in the church where I was pastor then, if ever they had a need, they would not come to me and say, Would you just pray with me? They'd come and they'd say, I need to make a fresh surrender of my life to Jesus. Because they had this principle, you see. I mean, they were living in revival, but they were living in revival because they lived by this principle. That if you have a need, okay, you come and surrender yourself to the one who can answer the need. And then you believe, you repent and believe. And believe that as you've given, so he will intervene and give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For the first 15 months of that move of God, every sick person we prayed with was healed. Why? Because we never prayed with anyone until they repented and believed. We would lead them to make similar offering of themselves to God. I would give them a few days to do that. You know, most people, if they've had a long-standing need in their lives, another few days isn't going to hurt. Better to wait until they're in the right place with God so that when you pray with them, the healing is going to happen. Than just sort of holy hit and hope, you know. You pray and hope God will hit them with something and they'll be better as a result. No, I believe we in a pastoral situation, it's different when you're in an evangelistic situation, but when you're in a pastoral situation, we need to do the job thoroughly and properly, don't we? Because it doesn't encourage people to keep praying for them and nothing happens. And you say, well, why isn't anything happening? Well, are we really fulfilling this principle of repent and believe? You see, what is repent and believe? It's that principle, that kingdom principle, that I taught you last week, of death and resurrection. That's the gospel, death and resurrection. We have died, we are raised to a new life. Now we live in Christ Jesus. But that repentance is what? Well, it's fulfilling what the scripture says. You know, when anyone is sick, call for the elders of the church, confess your sins one to another. I know lots of churches that you know, where people can call for the elders of the church and they anoint them, but people don't always get healed because they don't always do the full job in the way that the scripture says. Repent your sins one to another. Confess your sins one to another. And the prayer of faith will raise the sick man from his bed, but there's the repentance first before the faith. Can you see this? So often we're trying to get people to believe and receive without necessarily there being the surrender. And remember, the repentance is not just the forgiveness, it's the surrender. It's the turning over to him, turning round to him, putting everything in his hands. So you see, what people learned was, okay, if I have a need, I just need to surrender myself afresh to the one who answers the need. And because, you see, That principle worked at the beginning when they first turned to Christ. They knew the same principle would work whenever a need arose in their lives. And actually, they knew how to minister to other people when they had needs, and wonderful healings would take place. Really great miracles in the lives of other people, simply because of the faith that was operating in their lives. Now, this is the faith, the kind of faith, the quality of faith that God wants to engender, what God wants to initiate in us. Because you see, the scripture says he is the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. Now, what that means is you can't have faith in God unless he initiates it. So faith comes from hearing God. And so, you know, that faith is a response. Basically, faith is just believing what God says rather than believing what's happening. And when you believe what God says, then what's happening changes according to what God has said. So you believe what he says over your feelings, over your circumstances, over the problems. And you learn, we're not going to talk about this in any length, but you learn that you have the authority to speak to these mountains and command them to be moved, and you can be sure they will be moved. But you see, speaking to a mountain is not a formula. I speak to this mountain in the name of Jesus and command it to move. I tell you, you pray like that, nothing will happen. But when you know you have the authority to move the mountain, you would tell it to move and it will move. Amen? So this is the kind of faith that God is initiating and is going to perfect in us as this term continues. So your faith level is going to continue to increase day by day, week by week. Somebody say amen. And what you will find is that this is the case because you know there's no condemnation, you have confidence before God, you know his promise that you can receive whatever you ask in prayer because you have obeyed his command to repent and to believe, to love him by obeying his commands, just as Jesus continued in the love of the Father because he obeyed his commands. Now you have to keep working that obedience out day by day, day by day, day by day. But you're in that place of obedience, such as you've never been in before at this moment. As our hearts, we receive whatever we ask. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. Now, that is a good biblical description of what it means to love and believe. We do what pleases him. We don't just obey because he's commanded something, but out of our love for him, we want to please him. So we love our brother and sister as he has loved us because we want to please him. We want to love them with the same love with which he's loved us, not just because it's his command, because we want to please him. Now that you're surrendered to him in the way that you are, you can learn what it is to lay down your life for your friends. And you will be willing to do that because you want to please him. You see, Christians only really live to please the Lord when they come to the end of themselves, when they no longer want the Lord to please them. They realize that's not the deal. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel isn't about God living to please us, but about us living to please God. And when you live to please God, He pleases you. Because the measure you give is the measure you get back. You reap what you sow. But when you live to please yourself, it's a self-defeating thing. This is why Jesus said that no man can be a disciple of mine unless he loses his life. That's what he says. You've got to lose your life. You've got to lose your soul in order to be saved. He who loses his life will save it. But he who holds on to his life will lose it. So now you know what it is to lose your life. All that remains is for you to live the rest of your life in the same way. You don't have to go through the same thing that we went through yesterday, although from time to time God will probably take you through something similar when He wants to do a fresh thing in your life. Because the fresh thing will be through repentance and faith, through a deeper turning to Him. You know, what you did yesterday, I know, was absolutely, totally sincere and wholehearted. And virtually all of you, if not all of you. So, that's the fullest offering of yourself that you can make at this time. But, you know, along the road, there will be other times when you will realize that God will actually bring you to a deeper surrender to Him. You just become aware of other issues where you need to submit to Him and to His Lordship. And you will do that, you see. If you have this right foundation in your life, you will do that because you will know the benefit of it. You're going to begin to reap the benefit of what happened yesterday. It's not just an event, it's the beginning of something, it's initiated something. And God wants to build on that, but what He's going to build is going to be built by faith. So it's not just, well, okay, we did what we did yesterday, so today now we pray and we can believe God for some healings and miracles and so on. It's not just that. It's, no. We're now standing in this place where this scripture can be fulfilled in our lives. You are actually in the place with God where this can now happen. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. You're in that place at this moment. Now the trick, of course, is to stay in that place. When I wrote my book on praying with faith called Anything You Ask, God, it came out of this revelation of realizing that according to all the prayer promises of God, all of them, all the things He promises in prayer, God's purpose is to do anything I ask. That's His purpose. And so if I'm in the place with God where He wants me to be, He's going to do anything I ask. If you continue to abide in me and my words continue to abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Promise. All you've got to do is to stay living, stay in this place of repentance, turn to Him, surrender to Him, anything you wish. Whatever you ask in prayer, in my name, my Father will give it to you. Whatever. Not some things, not a few things, not an occasional answer, not being surprised that God suddenly intervenes, but whatever. Now, what I've found is that when people have gone through the kind of thing that you went through yesterday, they come into that place. So this is what I believe now. God wants to bring you into that place. Not because he wants to repeat what he's done elsewhere, but because he always moves by the same principles according to his word. All I'm doing is quoting his word. So he's going to take your prayer to another level because he's taking your faith expectations to another level. The only thing you have to do is to try to forget your past experience. You know, forget what prayer has been. Forget that perhaps there were times when you prayed and it didn't happen. Forget all that, because you're now in a different place with God than when you were praying then. So now you can expect different success. Because that's really what we're talking about. God wants us to be successful in prayer. It doesn't sound very spiritual, so we probably say he wants us to be fruitful in prayer. But actually bearing fruit is being successful. Our prayers will be successful. Amen? And so we will... God wants you to become familiar with the miraculous. What is a miracle? I've already described a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural intervention by God. Miracles aren't just the dead being raised and somebody receiving a wonderful healing. A miracle is any way in which God intervenes in the natural order and changes things as a result. So if we believe in a God of intervention, we believe in a God of miracles. And you are going to be a miracle worker. Do all work miracles? The scripture says no. The way you answer the question in Greek gives you the answer, yes or no, the way in which you formulate it. But no, not everybody believes in miracles, because not everybody is in that place with God where they expect the divine intervention of God when they pray. So forget that you have prayed sometimes and nothing's happened and you wonder why nothing has happened. You are not that person now. I mean, you finished with that person. As a result of yesterday, you are now, if you want to use language like this, you are now a revived believer. So you're going to expect, you have total different expectations from anything in the past. Got nothing to do with your feelings. Sitting there on the chair, you might not feel revived, you might not feel this, that, or the other. I don't care what you feel. It's the reality of what God does that matters. I've seen the most amazing miracles happen, and people have felt nothing, either before or even when the miracle happens. Because it's got nothing to do with feeling. It's got to do with faith. Simply believing God. Believing that he will do what he says he will do. And knowing that by his grace and mercy, we are now in that place with him, where our hearts do not condemn us. We have confidence before God. We can receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. You see, beloved ones, Yesterday you pleased the Lord. Yesterday you pleased the Lord. He could not have been happier with you than he was yesterday. That should put a smile on your face. If you make him happy, you can be happy. Of course, there'll still be that catch in your spirit if you know you withheld anything from him. But as soon as that which you withheld, if any of you did, as soon as that surrendered, then the issue no longer exists. So here is our faith expectation. When we pray, God is going to intervene. We're not just praying words, hoping that something will happen. That's not hope is not faith. Hope is quite distinct from faith. We are to have hope. But faith expects the intervention, the supernatural intervention of God, because we prayed. So in the ministry time, later this morning, things are going to happen. The wonderful thing is, and I know that from being in the position that I'm in this whole business at present, that we don't have to try to make anything happen. You know, sometimes you can see people trying to get someone out of a wheelchair, for example. They're trying to make something happen. And it doesn't happen. But where faith operates, you have stopped trying. And instead, you are trusting. I always say that the more you try, the more trying you are to God. But the more you trust, the happier you are in God. Because he will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. You are his. So this is the last thing I'll say now. You see, the whole secret of the Christian life, if we look at the New Testament, is to know that you are living at one with him. No issues between you, holding nothing back from him. You are walking and living in unity with him. So you are in him, and he is in you. According to the scripture, you are in God the Father, and he is in you. You are in God the Son, and he is in you. You are in the Holy Spirit, and he is in you. Can't get any closer than that. I love my wife. We've been married, 52 years? But I'm closer to Jesus than I am to him, to her. And she is closer to Jesus than she is to me. Because we can relate closely together, but we don't live in each other. I'm being serious. She doesn't live in me. Love for her lives in me, but she doesn't live in me. But Christ lives in me. I love her, but I don't live in Caroline. I live in Jesus. And nothing in the whole of creation can ever separate me from his love. So I'm not praying to someone, oh, are you there, Lord? Are you listening? Hey! I want to know your presence. I want to feel your presence so that I can believe. God says, you don't have to feel anything if you believe. You don't have to feel my presence if you believe. You believe what I say, I'm with you always. I will never leave you and forsake you. You don't have to believe my presence. You don't have to go, oh. You know, sometimes when people are being prayed with for healing, they're sort of standing there wanting to feel something. And if they don't feel anything, they go, oh, didn't happen again. Are you praying for a feeling? Or are you praying for a healing? No, I'm serious. What are you praying for? A feeling or a healing? I've seen people healed miraculously, cancer tumors, for example. Feel nothing. Boom, 1 minute's there, next moment's gone. Miraculous intervention of God. I mean, I pray with so many people that don't realize they were healed when they were healed. It's only afterwards they realize, wait a minute, it's gone. It's gone. It's no longer there. Wow. I didn't even know. You see, Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. If you believe you've received it, you might not feel anything at that moment, but suddenly you'll realize, wait a minute, it's gone. I'm free. Why? Because you believed it. This is faith. It's wonderful. Faith working through love, repentance, and faith. I'm happy. Anybody else happy? Oh, yes. I think the wonderful thing is, Jesus is happy with you. Because of the way that you're responding to his word. So let's stand. And oh, isn't it good to be able to please the Lord? Come on, just lift your heart and your hands, your voice. Some of you may wonder why I stopped the praise just for a moment. The reason why I did that is because the praise was being led from the platform. And you see, when they stopped, you stopped. And that meant you were following the platform. You weren't actually just focusing on the Lord. And you weren't just praising from your heart. See, this is the thing. The guys up here, they're not there to lead you. They're there to accompany you. You're the praisers. They're the accompaniment. Is that right? Okay, so let's go and just really praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Poratapadia leto bakalasato bakalasita di sandu. Vazandaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita di sandu. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just stop, because I just feel, you know, God wants to teach us a few things about worship. Look, when you worship him, the best thing to do is to imagine that he is right in front of you. So anybody who's just sort of looking around, they're not worshiping, right? Because we're told to come right before the holy throne. You're not standing before a human Jesus, but before the Lord enthroned in glory. You're standing there before the throne. Awesome. You're standing there before the glory. God actually wants you in the glory. He wants you to know the glory. He wants that element of glory to be in the worship. This is why you just focus on Him. Well, you know, when you come in here, you don't sit down and have a nice chat with your neighbor. You begin to get focused on the Lord so that you meet with Him. Okay, let's go. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Poparazatabaria leto bakala sitiri sandi. Bazandaria leto bakala sitiri sandaria leto bakala sutiri sandi. Bazandaria leto bakala sitiri sandaria leto bakala sitiri sandi. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Voparazatabaria leto bakala sitiri sandi. Voparazatabaria leto bakala sitiri sandi. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Pura tapari aleto bakala sita di sangha. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puta para zadabaria letuba. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just thank the Lord that He received that offering of yourself. He received what you gave to Him. Yeah, He dealt with all the muck that no longer exists, but He received you. You came before Him, gave yourself to Him as fully as you know how, and He has received you. He has taken you to Himself. When I was praying in the night, God said to me that actually what He did was to call you home. So, you know, your citizenship is in heaven. You are in the risen, glorified Christ. This is your home in Him. This is where you belong, together with all the others who are in Him. This is your home, this is your family, in Him. Hallelujah. He has received you into Himself. As we explained last week, you don't become part of Him, but you live in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So when you worship, it's really like being at home. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. It's being at home with the Lord of glory. Being at home with the one who deserves all honor, praise, might, majesty, dominion, and power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kora tapari letu bakala sandaria letuba.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Basandaria leto bakalasita di santuma. Yes, 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 yes. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now thank the Lord that your heart does not condemn you. There's nothing, nothing now in your life to make you feel condemned. Hallelujah. Your heart does not condemn you. And there's no condemnation in Christ. Where you live, in your home, He is your home. There's no condemnation there. Thank Him. There's no condemnation. He's not judging you. He's not condemning you. So your heart does not need to condemn you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now thank Him that He has brought you to a place of confidence. Nothing to do with feelings. Come on, confident. Just thank Him that your confidence is in Him. Your confidence is in Him, not in yourself. You've learned that it's useless, hopeless, pointless to trust in yourself. Because you fail again and again and again. But now your confidence is in the one who never fails. The one who is in the whole history of creation, He has never failed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank Him that you have confidence before Him. Koratabaria leto bakalasandum. Baratabaria leto bakalasid. Despite your feelings, you have confidence before Him. Despite your circumstances, you have confidence before Him. Despite whatever needs there may be in your life at this time, you have confidence before Him. Thank you, Lord, that I live in you, that there's no condemnation for me, that I'm at home in you, and I can have absolute confidence in you. You will never fail me. You will never fail to honor my prayers of faith. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the author and you are the perfecter of my faith. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to cause my faith to become stronger and stronger in you. As I hear your word and as the spirit of faith operates in my heart, I thank you for that spirit of faith. I thank you, Lord, for that fresh anointing that you poured into my life yesterday. I thank you, Lord, that the spirit of faith is now operating in my life. Come on, thank Him for that. That spirit that was imparted to you yesterday, He is the spirit of faith. Come on, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. It's not just me trying to believe, but the spirit of faith is going to be operating in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Spirit of faith is going to be operating in my life. Spirit of faith is going to be operating in my life. Come on, just say it over your life, speak it over your life, and give thanks to God. Puratabari aleto bakalasato. It's no longer going to be me trying to believe, but the spirit of faith is going to be operating in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now thank the Lord that it's His purpose. It's His purpose, not your idea. It's His purpose, as He reveals in His word, to do anything you ask. Come on, thank Him, and that's His purpose. Right? Now, it won't be anything that you ask in the flesh, of course, or for the flesh, because you obey His commands, do what pleases Him. It's whatever you ask that's going to please Him, yes? whatever it's going to ask, therefore, you know to be the will of God. But this is His purpose. He wants to give you whatever you ask in prayer. Again and again, Jesus makes the same promise in a different way. Whatever you ask, in the name of Jesus, that means in the will of God. Whatever you ask that is in the will of God, that is according to His Word, that is according to the leading of His Spirit, whatever you ask, not some of what you ask, but whatever you ask, He says He will do. Not He might do, He could do, He'll think about it, but He will do. Come on. He will do it. Puratabaria leto bakala zato bakala sito di sandama. Puparazarabaria leto bakala sito di sandama. Hallelujah. If you believe, of course. Hallelujah. So that spirit of faith is going to be encouraging faith in you. Yes, 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 yes. You're going to walk by faith. You're going to pray with faith. You're going to relate in faith. Hallelujah. Everything is going to be faith working through love. Come on. Come on. Come on. Because you obey His commands. Now, thank the Lord for His grace. You know, it was His grace that caused each one of you to surrender as you did yesterday to the Lord. That was His grace. His grace moved in your heart as a response to the word that was preached last week. So now you stand in the place of grace. See, John says that Jesus came full of grace. And to live with Jesus, he said, was to experience grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. And grace is God giving to those who deserve nothing. So all you've got to do to qualify is to remember that you deserve nothing, but your trust is in Him and in His grace. And His plan, His purpose for you is grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. One act of grace after another. One act of grace after another. So thank Him for what He imparted to you yesterday by His grace. Today is a new day. So thank Him for what He's going to impart to you today through His grace. It's going to be His grace, not because you deserve it or earn it. His grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He lavishes His grace upon you. That's how Paul puts it. He has lavished. In fact, he says He has lavished His grace upon us. So thank Him that He's lavished His grace upon you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That you've lavished your grace upon us. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Now thank Him that by that grace you have obeyed Him and done what pleased Him. Come on, thank Him for that. It's 'tis true. He is pleased with you. He is pleased with you. Oh, He can still see that you're not perfect in everything, but He's still pleased with you. He's still pleased with you. He's pleased with your response to Him yesterday. So just thank Him. Oh, Lord, thank You that You moved in my life by Your grace to enable me to come to that place where I could please You. Hallelujah. I don't think you're thankful enough for this. Oh, Lord, that's so wonderful. So wonderful. So wonderful to know that we haven't grieved You, but we've pleased You. Thank you, Lord, that we pleased you. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you. Poratabari eleto bakalazato bakalasidama. Bazandari eleto bakalasidri sandama. Now, thank you, Lord, that every day we can live at one with you. We can live in you and you live in us, living to please you, to fulfill the plan, the destiny that you have for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter what plan we were working with before we came here this term. Now we're working with your plan. Now you've drawn us into your plan. And thank you, Lord, that your plan is going to continue to unfold day by day, week by week, all the way through this term and beyond. Thank you, Jesus. Your plans are good. Listen, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says this: I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God hasn't planned failure for you. God hasn't planned fear for you. God hasn't planned sin for you. He hasn't planned rebellion or disobedience. He's planned good things to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Bless you, Lord. Now we thank you, Lord, that today you want to glorify yourself in our midst. So we're full of expectation. And we believe that as we pray today, so the God of intervention will release his mighty power in our lives in whatever way is necessary for the praise, honor, and glory of your holy name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, now just turn to at least four other people and say, I really am a saint.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.